This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Beggar's Garden, Michael Christie's debut collection of nine linked stories, is dazzling, says reviewer Candace Fertile in the Quill Inquirer. Drawing on his experience working in a homeless shelter in Vancouver's downtown east side, Michael Christie explores the intense humanity of people living on the margins of society, the reviewer says, and his characters include addicts, homeless people, hospital patients, and those who interact with the city's outcasts. The Beggar's Garden won the City of Vancouver Book Award in October 2011, went on to be longlisted for the Scotiabank Giller Prize, and is nominated for the Rogers Writers Trust Fiction Award.
And we're joined on the phone by Michael Christie. Welcome to People First Radio, Michael.
Hi, Kevin.
Michael, you've noted that reviewers of The Beggar's Garden tend to focus on the link to the downtown east side, neglecting to mention that the stories in your book take place in locations all across Vancouver. Tell us more about that.
Well, that's a very good point, Kevin. I appreciate you making it as well. I think it's more of a marketing thing than anything. The book really does center on Vancouver sort of as a whole, and it looks sort of at the city holistically. But people see a few drug-addicted characters or homeless characters, and they really start to zero in on those aspects.
People among the general public can also find it easy to explain why the people they've never met or known are homeless, in addiction, in trouble with the law, or perhaps even mentally ill. Tell us about that dynamic.
Well, I mean, from the very beginning, when I set out to write the book, I knew that I was sort of wading into territory that is rife with stereotypes and preconceived notions and assumptions, and so I don't know, I sort of tried to distance myself from the idea of how people are going to react. I really just tried to write about people in a human way and really not sort of reinforce any of the kind of negative stereotypes that exist out there.
In your very moving story, Discard, and in fact, I read the story Discard while drinking a coffee at the Comox Road Tim Hortons in Nanaimo, and I had to set it down more than once to keep myself from becoming overly emotional, you know. I want to quote a couple of lines from that. It had been nearly 15 years since Earl had seen Kyle. Not since the slushy day he'd fetched him from out in front of the holding cells where the boy had spent the night for public drunkenness, aggravated assault, and God knows what else. Earl drove him straight to the bus station, put 620s in his hand, and turned his back on him. He was 16 years old. Tell us more about this exploration, what I would say an exploration of abandonment, inability to connect with others. And for our listeners, Earl is Kyle's grandfather in this story.
Well, absolutely. I think that's a running theme throughout the book, is sort of people searching to connect with others and getting beyond estrangement. And so, yeah, I worked at a homeless shelter for many years in the downtown east side of Vancouver, and one of the things that often occurred was someone would come to the desk and say, I'm so-and-so's father, or I'm so-and-so's sister. Are they staying here? I want to see them. I haven't seen them in years and years. And we would sort of say, legally, we're not allowed to tell someone whether or not, or to confirm whether or not this person was staying with us. So I would say, can I take a note? And if I do see this person, I will give them this note. And often I would, you know, see the person and hand them the note and be really excited, like, oh, this is going to be a wonderful reconnection. But often the person would just read the note and, toss it in the garbage. So it really got that, those sort of instances really got me thinking about people reconnecting after long periods apart, and how often it's very hard to determine sort of who is at fault and who who is responsible for these rifts in our families that can happen.
While you were in that environment and working there, did you see any successful reconnections happen?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's always so hard to gauge, you know, what is successful and what is not. I mean, I saw a lot of, reconnections and people finding each other and people, you know, going off to treatment or people, you know, finding good housing, which were all, you know, wonderful, wonderful outcomes. But it's just so hard to look at another person's life and really determine or really gauge what is best for them. I mean, often for some drug users, it's a bad idea to go to treatment at a particular time because they may not be in a place where they're ready to do it. So it's what seems like a triumph, you never really know.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
Michael Christie pursued a career in skateboarding and earned an undergraduate degree in psychology from Simon Fraser University. After graduation, Michael found a job in an emergency homeless shelter in Vancouver's downtown east side. He later worked to assist severely mentally ill people who were charged with crimes navigate the legal system. Michael also worked in a psychiatric facility for a year until he was accepted into University of British Columbia's creative writing program. Michael's Master of Fine Arts thesis, a collection of linked short stories entitled The Beggar's Garden, has been published by HarperCollins Canada. His experiences while working on the front lines inspired his writing. We're speaking with Michael Christie.
Michael, you write in the story, The Queen of Cans and Jars, and I'm quoting, "Now the sidewalk was thick with those situated somewhere on the spectrum of ruin. A snarling, agitated woman passed inches from her, pushing an empty wheelchair that Bernice hoped someone wasn't missing. A man with a navel-length beard rode by, hunched on a tiny pink child's bicycle. He had a gray propane tank slung over one shoulder, and for a moment Bernice feared he would lose his grip and incinerate them both." Tell us about the character Bernice and what she symbolizes.
Bernice is the operator of a church thrift store in the downtown east side. She's older, in her 60s. And she, so the story centers around her decision to either to stay where she is in her life or to leave and go live with her sister outside of the downtown east side. And she's sort of living in the wake of her husband leaving her, and she's depressed and somewhat lost. But also, she's a very important part of the community. She knows many people who are in the neighborhood. So, I mean, she was partially based on a woman I knew who worked at a thrift store down there. Not wholly. She really bears no resemblance to her, but just the sort of the spirit of someone who is dedicated to clothing and caring for people who are lost. That was really a character that I was drawn to.
I'd like to read from a paragraph in your remarkable story, King Me, which is set in Riverview Psychiatric Hospital. After his trial, when he was first admitted, Saul had attempted a handful of escapes. Curiously, the doors to the outside were the only ones that weren't locked, but soon stopped trying because the police picked him up each time within a few hours. And then upon his return, the staff made him apologize and agree what a mistake it had been to leave. This seemed to Saul now the most hateful form of captivity. Tell us more about what you experienced and learned in your work with people in and out of psychiatric hospital who were experiencing mental illness.
I mean, to be honest, it was very frustrating. I came from a pretty grassroots kind of approach to dealing with poverty and dealing with mental illness, and I went to work in a psychiatric institution that was much more formalized, and it was hard. I mean, I have real trouble wielding power over people in their best interests, and so I mean I struggled, and I certainly didn't really enjoy the work. I mean, I enjoyed interacting with people, and I love working with people of all kinds. But it was a tough time for me, and yeah, that story sort of was born of that.
You're writing a novel at the moment. It takes place in the skateboarding culture, or involves the skateboarding culture. How's that coming along?
I was just working on it today. It isn't, I mean, it's skateboarding figures into it, but it's certainly not a skateboard novel. It's a coming of age story. It also involves a mother who is agoraphobic, and sort of her and her two sons. So it's going well. It should be done by the end of the year. That's what I told my publisher, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that.
Sounds like a bit of pressure there.
Yeah.
What has this been like for you, this whole process of having your stories shared to the point where you're talking about them on radio programs and on television and to newspapers across the country?
I mean, it's extremely surreal. And also, you know, wonderful at the same time. I mean, I wrote, you know, the book has already outpaced any expectation that I had. I mean, I was thinking small press, you know, a few of my friends would read it and I would be very excited to hold it and that would be it. But yeah, it's turned out to be, I mean, it's been quite a ride. So I'm very grateful.
Michael, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I think that the perception of the book is that it's sort of this. This is often something I'm sort of fighting against, that it's a bleak and sort of this chronicle of the poor, downtrodden person. And it's really more than that. I would like to say it's a human book. It's a very loving portrait of people at all stations in society. So it's actually somewhat uplifting. And this is something that's often forgotten.
Thanks very much, Michael, for taking the time to join us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Michael Christie is a senior editor of Color Magazine, a skateboard culture publication. He's also at work on a novel. Michael Christie's book of short stories, The Beggar's Garden, is available at bookstores across Canada and online at Amazon.ca. You can find Michael Christie online at michaelchristie.net.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.